Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And one man who one day hopes to be at that standard is Paul Himig. He's our green and gold insider, green and gold analyst here on the Bill Michaels Show. Sorry, Paul. That's bad. I need my caffeine. I just took a jab there.
That I was about to say, what a great compliment, and then I was about to say, can I say a-hole?
Hey, I'll let you in on a little secret. My middle initial is A, and I used to for
A-Holden.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
For like official purposes, you know, like resumes and stuff, I used to put my middle initial, and somebody called me back and said, you realize what it says on your resume, right?
That's brilliant.
Yeah, that word...
Before we go any further, we have to pay the bills here. So just hang on one second.
Sorry, I totally jumped.
Hang on.
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and gold analyst Paul Himig is brought to you by the Wisconsin Brewers Guild Pints for Prostates. Want a chance to meet Green Bay legend John Kuhn and support prostate cancer research? Just download the Wisconsin Tap Chaser app for details.
Okay, I'm so sorry. That's terrible. I made a bad joke and I jumped the open too. Paul, I'm off to a terrible start.
Well, let's continue that terrible start. I'll just say you guys are talking about our friend Nigel Morgan, T Plush.
That's it. Gotta go.
I was going through my notifications on Twitter the other day and someone sent me something and the Twitter name was Tony Plush or something. So I clicked on it. I'm like, wait a second, is like the actual Tony Plush follow me on Twitter? And sadly it was not, but it did bring back good memories of 7 years ago Brewers team.
He was phenomenal, and he was instant television or instant radio, instant soundbite. Every time you got near him, he was going to say something memorable.
He sure was.
So, speaking of something memorable, we have you here, of course, for that purpose, Paul. You're always bringing us memorable things about these Green Bay Packers, and I imagine that you and everybody else in the Packers media room this week has been spending the entire week reading your medical textbooks, getting the ins and outs of knees and injuries and sprains and all that stuff. What kind of insight can you share after 5 days of this and this sort of day-to-dayness of Aaron Rodgers' knee?
Well, Kevin, I just at no point, let's kind of walk through the timeline here real quick. He's interviewed on the field after the game. He's very defiant in the fact that I'm playing Sunday, okay? And then he comes to the post-game interview afterwards, and he's a little bit more... Yeah, I'm hoping to play Sunday, okay? Mike McCarthy comes in on Monday and talks about, like, you know, we're still gathering information. Oh, okay, Mike, sure. Still gathering information. Okay. You know, Wednesday comes, he's in the rehab group. At no point, though, Kevin, throughout the week have I personally, not based on any knowledge or information, but just I think knowing Rodgers, watching him in the second half, and also at the same time having no medical degree, I've never thought to myself, he's not playing against the Vikings on Sunday. So that's just, you know, a personal hunch, call it what you will. But with game time, with kickoff officially being just short of 48 hours from right now, I think it would be surprising. And someone who is much more medically inclined is, and I brought this up to Bill the other day, Kevin, do you know Pro Football Doc on Twitter?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, and he's the man, right? And he's the best source of public information on a lot of these things from someone who's reputable in that area, having worked on having led a training staff in the NFL. And it sounded like for him, this is going to be something that makes Rodgers kind of hobble for about a month and then get back to normal. And unless there's something that would come up in between, he's going to play on a hobbled left leg. And as long as they can adjust the offense accordingly, which I think we saw pretty clearly in the second half Sunday night, they can do, and maybe even to have better effects having played that type of offense than where Rodgers is more, you know, freewheeling outside the pocket. So, I'd be shocked if he's not on the field Sunday, especially knowing that this is his first chance back against the Vikings. And we all know what happened with Anthony Barr the last time these two teams met. So, again, I personal hunch, I'd be just shocked if he doesn't play.
So, and I was saying right before we left the last hour of the show, Rodgers last year, we finally learned that, you know, the sort of mask came off on any other problems with the franchise, where for years we could cover up a lot of stuff. And, well, it doesn't matter because Aaron Rodgers threw four touchdowns. But now you know, I think we're more keen to see the mistakes and weaker points and issues and that sort of thing. Defensively, where do the Packers make the biggest improvement in your mind between week one and week two?
Well, it had better be. For the Packers' sake of winning, it had better be an outside linebacker because, the initial eye test watching the game live told me, wow, I don't remember Clay Matthews playing this poorly. And then you kind of go back and look at it again, and you look at the Pro Football Focus rankings, and you see, oh, okay, my eye test was correct. This was perhaps the worst game of Clay Matthews' career. And I think if you want this Packers team, if you think this Packers team is going to be a Super Bowl team, can they do it on the arm of Aaron Rodgers single-handedly? Maybe, right? But it would sure be helpful if they had some defensive help. And I think the thing about it is their cornerback room is – it's only week one, and Jaire Alexander and Josh Jackson look really good. If you want to back that up with Pro Football Focus rankings, they were the top two ranked defensive players among rookies on Pro Football Focus this week. Come on. Like, that's incredible. Like, what a debut for both guys. And I think defensive line – Kenny Clark, Mike Daniels, Wilkerson in there rotating in with Dean Lowry for a few snaps. That's a really good group. Blake Martinez had a really good game at inside linebacker. Once they get Oren Burks back, which might be this week but probably not, then that's a really good group. But if Nick Perry and Clay Matthews and, you know, to some extent Reggie Gilbert and Kyler Fackrell when they get on the field, if that is a, you know, if that's one of the five, if in fact at the end of the year or at the midway point or at the quarter turn of the season, if we see – wow, I think the Packers have one of the five worst outside linebacker groups in the NFL, which after 1 week, you could easily make that claim that they have one of the worst, you know, edge rushing groups in terms of outside linebackers in the league. At least, you know, it's only one game, so take it for what it's worth. That needs to turn around quickly. So I don't know if it will against Minnesota, but it for this to be the season that fans, of course, want it to be, for it to be the season that the players are aspiring it for to be, they need a much, much, much better performance at the inside linebacker group if this team's going to go as far as they hope to.
So the linebacking core, the defense, obviously a big part of it. And on the other side of the ball, let's have a little fun with this sentence. The fact that Aaron Jones is going to miss this game is blank. Where's the match game music?
Yeah, how about this? The fact that Aaron Jones isn't going to play in this game is possibly the difference between a win and a loss.
Yeah.
I think he is that good, that important, that much of a game changer. Is he going to come in week three and make it look like he hasn't missed any time? Probably not. You know, it might take him a game or two. And I know the running game struggled this past week, but there have been times, and again, this is a very thin running back group in terms of overall depth. I think you saw, you know, Devontae Mays, a draft pick last year, was released this week on an injury settlement. All of the guys they brought in as street free agents this year, you know, of course, none of them ended up making the final 53. You cut your fullback and Aaron Rutkowski, but I think when you have Aaron Jones to complement or maybe even to lead a group of guys that also includes Jamal Williams and Ty Montgomery, I'm bullish on the fact, Kevin, that I think that is a really, really good trio when all of them are together. And I believe the guy with the most upside in that group as a breakaway runner is Aaron Jones. Now, you know, Jamal Williams is a very solid player. He's a good pass protector. Ty Montgomery, he's obviously is a former receiver. He's a lethal weapon out of the backfield in terms of catching passes, and he can run a few times, too, if you get him in open space. But I think Aaron Jones is very much an X factor for this offense and for that running game. And once he does come back, you know, he's ready to face the Vikings the next time these two teams meet. And I think he's very much a difference maker in how the season turns out.
Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, how about this one? Since we're just having all these fun with these little speculative things. Mr. Speculation, Kevin Holden. If the Packers win in whatever form, it can be however, if the Packers come out of Sunday 2-0 and their schedule from there is Washington, Buffalo, Detroit, San Francisco, bye, what are they at the bye?
That's seven games total, right? Mental math.
I think is it six? I'm terrible at the math.
Yeah.
Six, what is it,
there's seven games, or no, I'm sorry, there's six games in, then the bye, then week eight against L.A.
There it is.
And Washington, Buffalo, Detroit.
San Francisco.
And then San Francisco. When the schedule first came out, Kevin, I think my initial thing was 5-1 was sort of the bye week break. And that's asking a lot. And I don't think that should be like, well, they're 4-2. What a failure of a first six games. No, I don't think so. Minnesota is going to be a really, really difficult team to beat. But this is sort of the part of the schedule where you have to get fat, you know, where you have to really rack up wins and then get to that bye week with a strong record, because it gets a lot more difficult after that between the West Coast trips and the teams of difficulty and the Rams and everybody else. That I think if this season is going to go on track, and again, there's certainly ways to get to the Super Bowl by not winning your division, by doing it on the road. The Packers in 2010 certainly found that out firsthand. But you want to be have home field advantage. And I just don't know if the Vikings are anything worse than at worst an 11-5 team this year. If they perform, I think, the way they could, the way they should, I bet their own expectations and their own heads would tell you that they should be at worst 11-5. And if you're going to have a better record than 11-5, you probably need a 5-1 start to this season. So this is the part of the schedule, and I'm not including Minnesota in this, but once you get past Minnesota, I think there's enough games in the schedule that you can kind of hope to get fat on that part of it. And again, opening up, I'm trying to remember what the stat was, but the Packers opened up this season with back-to-back home games, you know, and that's rare, you know, and I know that was part of what Mark Murphy had hoped to do because of it being the 100th season and everything like that. So, yeah, let's set our expectations. I don't want to say our expectations, but I think if this team is going to be what it should be, I think that's at least a realistic goal of sorts.
5-1 through six games. That makes you feel like they're an NFC favorite, I think, if they're 5-1 through six games.
They have to be. They should be, shouldn't they?
Yeah, I think 5-1 at the break to me is one of the NFC favorites. I think that's so. That tells you the importance of this Minnesota win. Now, here's the other thing, Paul, because we talk about two. When it's you and me, we talk about two things: Packers football, and my favorite little side thing to talk about: television.
Yep.
You know TV.
I do.
You know TV better than I do, and I work in TV. That's what makes me nervous. So what you got? We were talking Westworld last time out. What should I be watching for to pass the time between Brewers and Packers games?
All right, I'm wondering how many of the listening audience or you guys, the two of you, have seen Ozark yet on Netflix?
No,
I have not.
Hey, Jason Bateman is the star of the show. It's very Breaking Bad-esque, and I know that holds it to a very high standard. But it's very much that world. It's really good. I just finished season two. I think my wife and I watched it in about, I don't know, 3 days or something. It's always binge worthy, right? And, now I'm kind of waiting for some other stuff to come out. So I'm kind of in the camp of, in fact, you know what I'm watching right now, Kevin, in sort of this lull period as I wait for the fall season to kick off.
What's that?
I had never watched Band of Brothers on HBO from 2001.
Get out of here.
Remember that show? Never saw it. And I'm on episode 8 of 10, and it's certainly enthralling.
Interesting. I haven't seen it either.
I was, like 10 or 11 years old when that came out. And
2001.
My parents let me watch that.
Wow.
That is a hell of a show. It is very, very well done.
Sam, our producer, says that he has seen Ozark and he is pleased.
Yes.
So you two saying it together means it's loaded in. It's going to happen.
Just real quick here. Paul, I don't know if you know this. Now, I have not finished Westworld. I have not had a chance to get around and finish the rest of the season. Okay. There's a lot going on. But did you hear who is supposed to be in the next season of Westworld?
No.
Aaron Paul.
Really?
Jesse Pinkman himself will be on the next season of Westworld.
Man, that is a win for all involved.
I don't know how that's going to play out, but I'm looking forward to it.
You ever seen?
I think he should just be Jesse Pinkman. That's what I want him to just to be Jesse Pinkman in Westworld as a visitor.
Joe.
As a guest.
Just play the same role. Have you ever seen the video of Aaron Paul on The Price is Right?
Yes, amazing. Isn't that the greatest thing of, like, old Aaron Paul before his fame days? That is really a cool video.
And he admits now, with years between it, he admits that he was on so much energy drink that day. He had consumed way too much energy drink that day, and he was hopping around. He was, or as we call it here, pulling a Kevin Holden.
Right, that's a fair analogy.
Paul Emig, Green and Gold analyst, dude, always insightful and always a blast, man. Let's do this soon.
Absolutely. See you guys. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. That's Paul Emig on our Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard. You work hard. They treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them at 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.